1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show. Your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Hi, welcome to the program. Coming up in just a few minutes, Josh Planos, Washington Post, and now New York Times contributor, will be along. And we're going to talk about a few things. First, about the article. I sort of missed talking about it with him last week that he had in the New York Times. So we're going to talk about that. Talk a little baseball, LeVar Ball. Don't talk about him much. I don't know that we have more than maybe one time, but got to talk about him a little bit, unfortunately. That and more coming up on today's discussion with Josh Planos. Before I do get to that, I do want to get a few things out in front here. Murray State football taking the field today. It's their first open practice. I think I may have said earlier that that would be a morning practice, and it was scheduled for that, but they have changed that. That will now be an afternoon practice today at 2:30. The other practices will not be altered in any way whatsoever. Team practices six times before the first scrimmage of fall camp, which will take place on Monday. The Racers will open the season August 31st. That is a Thursday night game. They will host Kentucky Wesleyan, and you can hear that game and all the Racer games once again this season on Froggy 103.7. Speaking of football, Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino says senior defensive lineman Chris Williams has been dismissed from the team for violating unspecified team rules. He made that announcement after Monday's first practice of fall camp. Didn't elaborate as to why. Williams was considered to be a pretty prominent member of that defensive line. He had 29 tackles last year, 6'1", 292 pounds. He transferred last season from Northwest Mississippi Junior College, played in 11 games. Overall, though, Coach Petrino said he was happy with the first practice of fall camp. Although star quarterback Lamar Jackson wasn't in sync with his wide receivers, it's no big deal. It's the first day of fall camp. Doesn't matter. The only practice that will be open to the public was that one. Kentucky head coach Mark Stoops is adding to his defensive staff. The Wildcats bringing on former Tennessee defensive coordinator John Janczyk to be a defensive analyst. That is not an on-field position. Also, if you're going to be in Lexington and you're a UK fan, Kentucky is set to host its annual Fan Day Saturday starting at 9 in the morning. It'll kick off with an autograph session at Nutter Fieldhouse, 9 to 10:15. All UK coaches and players, including Coach Stoops, will be available for autographs. Following all that, fans are invited to an open practice at 11 a.m. at the Joe Kraft Football Training Facility. And Fan Day, as you probably expect, is open to the public. Admission is free. The latest in the saga of Mitchell Robinson occurred yesterday. Western Kentucky coach Rick Stansbury has suspended the 7-foot center from Louisiana. The 5-star prospect has been suspended for violation of team rules. It was an unspecified violation. In a statement released Monday, Stansbury called Robinson, quote, a good kid, but noted that the team is more important than one player. Stansbury added that Robinson needs to understand the value of structure and accountability in his life, and his return will be dependent upon requirements that will be handled internally. WKU will play professional, club, and international teams in Costa Rica August 7th through 14th. Now, this is all one of those old, and I think a tweet that I saw from someone, and it's not that I'm not giving them credit, I just don't remember who tweeted it, but someone said this is the old I quit, no, you're fired kind of thing. From what we understood Friday, Robinson is out of school and left the school and isn't coming back. So the fact that he's suspended doesn't seem to really matter a lot. So I don't know how this is going to play out, but there seems to be some miscommunication somewhere. If what we hear from Robinson is true and what we hear from Stansbury is true, if you're out of school, does it really matter that you're suspended from school? Probably not. St. Louis Cardinals off last night. They're in Milwaukee tonight to play the Brewers. First of a three-game set at Miller Park. The Brewers have stunk since the All-Star break. Cardinals will hope to take advantage of that as they begin this road trip, which also has stops in Cincinnati and Kansas City. Carlos Martinez goes against Jimmy Nelson. Airtime for the game, 5:45. It's a 6:40 first pitch. And we'll have it for you on WNBS. Cardinals did nothing at all at the Major League Baseball trade deadline, the move that the Cardinals were expected by many to make would be to send Lance Lynn somewhere. But in the end, Lynn stays with St. Louis along with his 9-6 record and a 3.20 earned run average. Down on the farm, Tyler O'Neill, 3-for-6 with a home run and four runs batted in. Memphis, an 11-3 winner at Reno. Alex Mejia, 4-for-6. The Redbirds pounded out 23 hits. The finale of the four-game set tonight. The Bees romped over the Nashville Sounds, 11-5, and the Louisville Bats were off. They'll take on the Mud Hens tonight. Tennessee Titans continue training camp today with their fourth practice. They have tomorrow off before getting back to work on Thursday as they are getting set for their preseason opener at the Jets, August 12th. The Stats FCS preseason All-America team was announced Monday. All 13 conferences and 55 schools had selections. The Missouri Valley Conference had the most with 17. The OVC had 10. Landing on the first team, offensive squad, Jacksonville State offensive lineman Justin Lee. On the defensive side, Gamecocks defensive lineman Darius Jackson and defensive back Marlon Bridges. Tennessee State kicker Lane Clark named the first team specialist squad. Tiger defensive lineman Ebenezer Ogundeko was a second team selection, as was UT Martin defensive back Khalid Higgins. EKU punter Keith Rusak was a second-team specialist, and Tennessee State wide receiver Patrick Smith named to the third-team offensive unit. All right, stay tuned. Coming up, Josh Planos will join me. Don't forget, we'll have Ed Marlowe on the show coming up on Wednesday. Today, I think he and I will both be at that first Murray State football practice, so we'll talk a bit about that on Wednesday's show. Be sure to tune in for that. Stay tuned for Josh Planos coming up next.
On Friday night, August 18th at 6:30, tune into 104.5 WBZB for opening night as the Callaway County Lakers travel to Ohio County to battle the Eagles. At the same time, on 1340 WNBS, tradition rolls on as Murray High hosts the Graves County Eagles. Football season is coming. Tune in to the Busy Bee for the Lakers and WNBS for the Tigers. Then watch the Eclipse 3 days later. Followed by more football 4 days after that on the Busy Bee and WNBS.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Josh Planos, who I normally introduce as a Washington Post contributor. I'm going to have to add New York Times to that now, as a couple of weeks ago, Josh was published as well in the New York Times, an article on golfer Xander Schauffele. And tell us just a bit about the article. I read through that about him fulfilling his father's legacy in becoming just really an outstanding golfer who has done quite well. Tell us about the article and maybe how you got into that.
Well, it just so happened that I was going to be I started writing it after he, I believe, tied for fifth at the U.S. Open. It was the first major that he had ever played in. And I thought he just seemed like he might have an interesting story. So I had, kind of started doing the legwork. I had talked to a few of his people, the people in his camp, his father. And then it just so happened I turned on golf one Sunday, and sure enough, he won his first tournament. He won the Greenbrier Classic, which qualified him for the British Open, I believe, the following week or the week after that. And so, luckily I just had the interview lined up right after his win, and it just seemed like the perfect time to kind of pitch the story, and the Times was nice enough to give it a home. But, he's an incredible guy. He finished last season 299th on the tour. He basically only played, a handful of meets. So technically this is still his rookie season. Mm-hmm. And now he's up to 78th in the world golf rankings.
Wow.
So he's been just, lights out. He, I believe, was top 25 or top 20 at the British Open. So, two majors, two top 20 finishes, not too bad for a 23-year-old kid.
Is he going to be one of the major stars, in your opinion, over the next few years?
I think so. I think if you look at kind of his track record and what he was able to accomplish in college, he was an incredible collegiate player. Had John Rahm, who I believe is now in the top five, not been at Arizona State, I think that he would have won the Ben Hogan Award. Of course, Rahm won it twice and is now he's sixth in the world. So, pretty stiff competition. As far as the college rankings go. But, that 23, 22-year-old age bracket is just remarkable. If you look at, some of the players who are ranked where they are, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm, And certainly Xander Schauffele is among those guys now. And it's just kind of, you know, it's been exciting to watch his career take off. And, you know, I hope nothing but the best for him.
And Xander has just a tremendous background in terms of athletics with his family. It was really intriguing. And sometimes it tends to work against some athletes. But in this instance, it seems like it's really helped him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a hands-on father. I know that we're going to talk hopefully in a little bit about LeVar Ball, but you know, his college coach jokingly referred to his dad as the LeVar Ball of the college golf circuit. So if that gives you a little inclination into, you know, kind of how hands-on he is, I believe after he graduated college, his dad was his caddy, and then they kind of you know, had something of a falling out on the course one day, and it just became obvious that he couldn't golf the way he wanted to when his dad was, you know, around in that position. So he hired his former college teammate to be his caddy, and things seem to be working out ever since.
Well, in this instance, for Xander, I'm pulling for him. The other father we're going to talk about is LeVar Ball, and through no fault of their own, you have LaMelo, the youngster, and then Lonzo Ball. There's no telling how many people just can't wait to watch these poor kids fail, and I've watched them play. I have nothing against them at all, but their dad makes it almost impossible to root for them. And then this past weekend, a female official, he wanted her removed. Adidas sort of complied, and now they've issued a statement where they regret the situation, not in line with their company values, and just kind of a nasty event. No good publicity at all for LeVar Ball or his family, and it's really no fault of the kid's own, but he's kind of just made a circus of things in this situation, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dangerous act for sure, and I think it's difficult, if not impossible, to divorce how we feel about LeVar from, you know, how kind of we feel about his kids, and yet his kids do not seem to be perpetuating, you know, these antics. Clearly, they're in support of their father. I know plenty of people who are in support of their father, regardless of what their father has done in the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would never begrudge anybody for doing that. But the problem is when it comes at the expense of the kids, and luckily it looks like, you know, Lonzo clearly turned out just fine. He's going to be probably an incredible professional basketball player. LaMelo obviously has a scholarship offer to UCLA, as does his brother, LiAngelo. So clearly, you know, the success is not going to be affected by that. But at the same time, you know, I can only imagine how much it must feel like you're operating under a microscope when you kind of have this walking megaphone for a father. And you're right. What happened last weekend was disgusting. And I think it's bad for the game of basketball that a person, a coach, could have this much sway, that Adidas, you know, an enormous brand, clearly not hurting for money, would be willing to kind of succumb to his request, you know, that you would replace an official entirely, let alone an official who is qualified. You know, she coaches and also does, you know, judging at the reffing rather at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. So clearly this is not a first time novice. You know, this is somebody who knows what they're doing, and yet, you know, was completely cast aside because, you know, LeVar was willing to pull his team from the court and from the tournament. And that's it's sad. And hopefully that, you know, some kind of, you know, decision can be made. I know that Adidas has pulled its branding from that tournament, or rather that the tournament has divorced itself from Adidas. But that just doesn't seem like enough at this point. And hopefully the rest of the country can rally around the idea that we're no longer invested entertainment-wise in watching this play out.
And I thought it was interesting, and I'm a huge Jay Billis fan. Jay Billis writes that he's pretty much done with him and not going to give him any more publicity, and then wrote an article, retweeted thousands of times, that did just that, gave him more publicity. Mm-hmm. But maybe that drew the line as, look, I'm finished with him completely. But there's more that in the guy. You know, there's the old saying, I guess, there's no publicity that's bad long as they're talking about you. Well, I'm not sure that that's true in this instance.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a chicken or the egg type deal here. And I remember watching, you know, Van Pelt, Scott Van Pelt, the SportsCenter anchor, I want to say that was a few months back when he said, I believe it was after the LeBron comments or after LeVar commented on LeBron's parenting, that Van Pelt would no longer be mentioning LeVar. And to his credit, I have not seen LeVar on screen. You know, I don't watch Van Pelt every single night, but it seems like he's actually following through. And that's, you know, probably the most important part is the follow through. If you're going to say, you know, Jay Billis, that, you know, you're done with this, with these antics, you're done with, you know, creating an environment that, you know, upholds LeVar and his values, then, you know, I want to see some follow through, because I think it's trendy right now to say, and correct, rather, you know, that to say that what LeVar did was wrong this weekend. But a lot of people will revert back to ratings and will revert back to, you know, what's going to sell best. And LeVar, if nothing else, does sell himself extremely well. And so, you know, it's on those companies to make those decisions from the top down and to say, you know, enough, and then actually follow through on it and not just, you know, treat him as the leading story the following day, you know, based on what came out of his Twitter account or what came out of his mouth in response.
I want to talk a little Major League Baseball. Yesterday was the trade deadline. Not a lot of huge deals, but the old rich get richer line was used many times yesterday. The Yankees picking up Sonny Gray from Oakland. The Dodgers getting Yu Darvish and also a pair of really good relievers, Tony Watson, who's pretty good from the left side, and then Tony Cingrani, as they get a pair of Tonys for the bullpen. But I'm looking at the Dodgers. If they get everybody healthy by the time October rolls around, I'm not sure that there's any team stopping them. They've been really incredibly good and look like they got a lot better yesterday.
Absolutely. I mean, they're just them and the Astros are just a freight train right now, and nobody really wants to run into them. Darvish has his starter-level stuff. Obviously, he probably had the worst audition performance, if you want to treat his last start as that. You know, I believe that was last week when he got absolutely shelled. But, you know, it's tough to put into words kind of, you know, the pressure that rises from being constantly, you know, having your name swirled in trade rumors. And that was clearly the case with him. So, you know, if they can go Kershaw to Darvish, you know, in game two, and then go to the lefties in games three and four, I mean, the Dodgers just look as good as advertised, if nothing else. I really liked what the Cubs did, you know, bringing in Justin Wilson. Because I think that's, you know, a really good pairing with, you know, him and Wade Davis. I really like what the Nationals did. We saw how bad the Nationals' relief has been for seemingly for years. I believe their relievers are 29th this season in WAR. And yet, you know, here you are bringing in, you know, some terrific relievers, Sean Doolittle, Ryan Madsen, Brandon Kinsler. You know, all those guys coming in should help. A little bit. And so, yeah, I mean, it's turned into an arms race, and it does seem like it's the Dodgers and the Astros and everybody else. But the Nationals are making a strong push. Chicago's, you know, rounding into form at the right time, and I'm excited to see what, you know, the last stretch of the season brings.
And you mentioned the Cubs. They had a big story yesterday when they announced they were giving Steve Bartman a World Series ring. So if you had your money on who would get a World Series ring first, Steve Bartman or Mike Trout, it goes to the Bartman camp. Of course, a little different circumstance. But this was, you know, it's amazing when you have a 30 for 30 about you or whatever it was about Steve Bartman. Just an awful situation. And I know people say, oh, Cubs fans blame them. It wasn't all Cubs fans, but there was a bunch at the ballpark that night that certainly booed him. And hopefully this is an incident that can be put behind him. But I just thought it was striking that when he released his statement, he still wants his privacy, Josh.
I can't even imagine what that man went through. I highly recommend that 30 for 30 for those who are listening who have not watched it. It's incredibly impactful. You'll leave thinking about the moment in a totally different light. Mm-hmm. You'll probably leave thinking that was a black mark on the organization, considering, you know, how horribly he was treated after, you know, both in the days and the minutes after the moment, you know, occurred. It was a real tragedy, honestly. And I'm surprised that he was able to be find a place of safety, honestly, because of how that that city and that organization reacted to the moment. It's a nice epilogue for him. I think that he clearly deserves a ring. He deserves a lot for what he's been through, and I can only imagine how much you would want to keep your privacy after something like that occurred.
Josh, as usual, I appreciate the visit. We'll, of course, get into more college football and pro football here as the weeks go on. And as usual, always great talking with you. Now, Washington Post and New York Times contributor Josh Planos, congratulations on that. And look forward to talking with you next week.
Thanks for having me.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.